Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Hello, everybody. This is Mike Coughlin, President of McKinney Flavelle, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by two experts in the commodity space. And you know what? This is our pre-WASD, hey, what's going to happen next week podcast. Happy Friday to everybody. And a quick shout out to Nicole. She's not with us today because she celebrated her birthday yesterday and she took the week off. Mm-hmm. That's Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. That's Eric Thornton, commodity specialist for McKinney Flavelle. And also we have Kevin Combs, vice president of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Happy to talk to everybody. Very quick week, as we all know, but busy week. Things are starting to heat up all over the place, literally. Mm. I thought today, gentlemen, I'll call you gentlemen today, we would talk a little bit about our pre-WASD expectations for next week. And we'll just go from there. I figure we'll talk sugar, corn sweeteners, soy and soy oil, and finish it up with a little wheat. Sound fair?
Perfect.
Sounds fair.
I'm going to give you one sports thing. I don't care if Portland Trailblazers lost the game the other night, but Damian Lillard's three after three was pretty awesome, and I'll just leave it at that.
12 of them, and he had a very efficient game, and yet unfortunately, the Northwest lost, but...
What'd they get? He get 54 points, I saw?
Yeah. Something like that? It's something like 55, 54, yeah. It was great.
Wow.
And, you know, being from the Portland area growing up, it's great to see that team. Oh, they lost, but it was fun.
Well, you're trying to take credit for it. You know, Damian Lillard is from the Bay Area, go Bay Area.
Never mind, guys. Go Warriors! On that note, I think, everybody has my sports picks and commentary. So let's move on to the pre-WASD. So, Kevin, sugar. What do you expect next week on the sugar front? I know commercially things are starting to heat up for the next crop negotiations, but what's going to happen next week?
Well, you know, not a whole lot is going to happen next week. And that's just typical of a June WASD report. You know, okay. Most of what they're doing is, any revisions to old crop that need to be made, you know, and at this point in time, things are pretty well settled. We haven't had any adjustments to the TRQ. We haven't had any increases in quota. Hint, hint, have you looked? The 16 market is at 33 cents plus. It might be time to consider some of this stuff, but since none of that's really happened, you know, it'd be minor adjustments to any of the numbers. You know, maybe there's a little adjustment to Florida on the production side. You know, they cut it 70,000 tons last month, so really it'd be just a refinement, plus or minus 15,000-20,000 tons, something like that. And demand wise, I don't see any major reason for any significant changes yet, but let's see what happens when we get the SMD report next week. We might have a inkling as to any changes there. And from a new crop perspective, you know, they really don't start hitting up surveys and getting a real objective estimate on production until the July report. So new crop, I really don't expect to see anything from that perspective.
Okay. Well, from your perspective on the crops, everything's looking favorable, would you say, at this point, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, it's still early to tell. Obviously, beets got in the ground great this year. You know, I'd say most areas were 7 to 10 days, but there were a lot of little setbacks. Obviously, the dryness we've seen out west and in the plains is taking the edge off of a good potential based on plantings. You know, we have had some areas with some replantings taking on. So from a beet perspective, right now, I might have to call it maybe slightly above average. And the reason I'd say that's because we are seeing pretty good conditions. Planting was early in the Red River Valley, and they plant 58% of the beets this year, I believe. So
okay.
That alone just create some optimism because we've had so many problems over the last three seasons in the Red River Valley where one region or the other, whether it was the north, the south, or all the above having troubles, provides some good potential. And when you look at, you know, out west in Idaho, for whatever reason, doesn't really seem to matter what hits them. They seem to get 40 tons per acre every year. So
yeah, strong beets.
I'm optimistic for above average. I think the USDA's last estimate was 5.225 million tons. Not that super record crop, you know, you'd hope for, get us back on track. But, you know, I think it's still potential for one of the top three beet crops of all time.
Yeah.
And moving to cane, you know, we had phenomenal crops last year. Louisiana escaped all the tropical storms and still produced a record crop. Mm-hmm. Florida had a very good crop. And again, those numbers will probably reflect a little bit lower cane crop overall. Again, I think, you know, Florida pretty static. I think that's where the USDA has already set their number. And then Louisiana, little bit of rain excess here in a little bit of a freeze in February could take the edge off. So, you know, the USDA is at 1.85, I think, right now. And I don't see any major adjustments to that. That seems like a reasonable number at this point in time.
Okay, great. Anything else on the sugar? We'll move over to corn.
Let's move it.
All right, corn, what's going to happen next week?
Well, from a corn perspective, I think, again, it's the same thing. You have the initial estimates based on trend line yields and acreage. You know, they could see a little adjustment to yields from trend line just based on planting conditions and what happened, but I don't expect to see anything in that regard. I think what everyone's going to be watching for is probably more on the global front. And in particular, Brazil, where dryness has been a continued lingering problem. And a lot of the private forecasters, people down in Brazil, have production estimates well below the USDA, some as low as 90 million metric tons to 95 million metric tons. And the USDA is currently sitting at 102 million metric tons. So
got it.
That's expected and anticipated. But again, new crop. I really don't think you're going to see anything. You know, the trade's really going to be looking more towards the June acreage report for the U.S. Okay. situation, and then what follows with the July WASD report, where they are more, again, taking into account what weather impacts and actually surveying of growers for a initial objective crop estimate.
Okay. Eric, anything to add for corn? We move on to soy.
No, I think Kevin outlined it pretty well there. So nothing really to add here on corn.
Okay. Kevin, soy and soybean oil, or what are they going to do?
That's a great question again, because here we are. We just said it with the corn. Soybean's pretty much in that same situation. You know, we're not expecting any major changes to the supply demand at this point. Not a real concern about any of the global numbers on soybeans. So I, you know, could see some minor adjustments in South America again, but the story is going to be July for soybeans, and, you know, really paying attention to those acreage numbers as to what happens from the soybean complex. And, you know, hopefully we can dig up a few more acres here and there to relieve this very, very tight soybean stocks issue we have.
Okay. Well, I think the trend is take some time off this WASD. It's time. You want to go camping? Go camping. You want to go for a long bike ride?
It's June for a reason. You know, school's out.
Yeah.
Gotta go camping, gotta go somewhere for your vacation, and people have been cooped up
for a
year and a half. So get it in now, people.
Yeah.
Because fireworks could come in July.
Or June 30th.
Yeah, June 30th. So get in before June 30th. Let's end it with wheat. Eric, are you gonna say the same thing?
I'm gonna follow the trend and say
okay,
really
good.
Not expecting major revisions, although I'll say The yield estimate right now for 21-22 for all wheat classes is set at 50 bushels per acre. So relatively on par with last year at 49.7 and the year prior, 51.7 bushels per acre. But, you know, there might be some consideration by the USDA to raise that number based on the hard red winter wheat crops actually coming out and looking, you know, better than anticipated through what was a pretty harsh dormancy period where it was very dry last fall and through the winter in the southern plains, and then some extended cold snaps right through April and just very inconsistent precipitation. But ultimately, one outlet, at least the Kansas Wheat Quality Tour 2 weeks ago, actually had pegged winter wheat yields in Kansas at 58.1 bushels per acre. So that's a surprising outcome based on the fact the USDA is currently estimating somewhere around a 52 bushel per acre estimate for Kansas hard red winter wheat. But, you know, I think what might be offsetting some of that increase, even if the southern plains came out with a good hard red winter wheat crop, is that of the Pacific Northwest and the northern plains being exceptionally dry the last 3 to 4 months. And drought conditions continue to persist and worsen in the northern plains where spring wheat is grown. So, you know, we're seeing those ratings reflective of the less than ideal conditions. I think the rating Monday was 43% good to excellent for spring wheat, which is the lowest since 1988. So it just gives you a good reflection of how the crop's really not off to the best start there. So that's probably going to be the force that keeps yield somewhere close to this 50 bushel per acre number. So, you know, similar to Kevin's prediction for corn and soy, and I don't disagree there, is probably not going to see a whole lot of changes and going to be pretty quiet in the global picture as well. I know things are off to a good start in many of the major producing regions. You know, maybe if anything, we could see some slight revisions upward to production. And again, still early, but I know Australia is looking to be having another really good crop with a lot of good rainfall they've had. So, you know, USDA's estimate right now could be a little bit low at 27 million metric tons. And I could see the India production number at currently 108 million metric tons rise as well. But we're pretty early. I think we said and hinted at it that June 30th really is going to be the bigger report for acreage update. And then looking into the July and August WASDs as we get through these next, you know, key 2 months of growing here in the summer.
Got it. Perfect. Great recap, Kevin and Eric. We're going to let people go enjoy their weekend. But before we let you go, in a couple weeks, you're going to get an invite if you are on our email list. If you're not, you can go to our website and register for our Summer Market Outlook, where we're going to cover sugar, corn, and so the soy complex. So look out for that. We'll do it ahead of that report that Eric was just talking about on June 30th. So give you some little bit of guidance of what to expect. Also, if you're not an IQ subscriber, you should be, because it's awesome and there's a lot of great intel on our IQ platform. So if you're interested, reach out to us and sign up. We'll give you a free trial. Test it. So we're going to wrap this one up. Have a great, great weekend. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment with your friends and family. Don't take it for granted, because before you know it, they're going to be in college. That was more for me. And until next time,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.